Romans chapter number 4. Before we do that, I do want to say thank you again just for your hospitality, for what you've provided for us. It's just been a blessing to be here, to meet some new faces, to make some new friends, and we've just had a great time, and we're just greatly appreciative that the Lord brought our paths together, and we're just grateful to Him for that. So Philippians chapter number 4, and this evening we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. I think those are the two largest letters in all the Word of God right there. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to be in your house, to be amongst your people. Lord, it's been a blessing tonight to hear you lifted up in song. Lord, to hear the special music, the offertory that's been played tonight, it's just been a blessing to my heart, and I thank you for it. Lord, it definitely has prepared our heart for the Word of God. Lord, we would just pray that tonight you would glorify yourself amongst us. Lord, that we as your people would be receptive to your word. And Lord, that you would just find open ears, open hearts tonight, and that you would accomplish your will. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight we want to look at proactively having peace with God. It's very easy for us as Christians to fall into a trap. And that trap is facing adversity and falling apart. You know, every time a circumstance comes into our life, it is something that God already knew was headed our direction. Just this past January, Brother Dwight Smith had shot me a text and had invited me to the Evangelist Advance there at the college, and asked me to come, and I was making plans to come to that. And January the 1st, my dad has a heart attack. We rush him to the hospital, and we take care of all those things. And to be quite honest with you, my dad's been through several health problems before. He had a stroke when he was 58, and just one of those things that it's just kind of hard to deal with, you know, when a family member is having health problems. And my dad's going through this heart attack, and I texted Brother Dwight, and I said, "Brother, I'm not going to be able to come because my dad's in the hospital. These are the things that are going on." And he texted back. He said, "Keep looking up." That didn't surprise God. And you know, that was a blessing to me that day. Something to think about. You know, it didn't surprise God. And nothing that we go through as human beings ever comes as a surprise to our Heavenly Father. He knew that those things were coming. He knew what was on his way. And he wasn't surprised. But we fall into the trap of allowing ourselves to become full of care. Now, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Now, we understand what that means. It doesn't mean not to be careful. We can understand that, right? We were talking before the service. I am a hillbilly. I refer to myself as a Mountain William. That's a sophisticated hillbilly, right? And there in central West Virginia, where I'm from, my dad had purchased a little piece of property and was going to put a little trailer on that property in order to have a place to go and hunt and fish and do all those things that us guys who are mountaineers, we like to do those things. And my dad had hired my uncle to cut down a tree. And we were supposed to meet my uncle there at a certain time. And when we pulled in, my uncle was already cutting the tree. But the thing was, he had a rope attached to the tree, attached to the bumper of his S10 pickup, and on top of that, he was drinking. So it wasn't a good thing. That is not being careful. God expects us to be careful. Don't operate a chainsaw when you're drinking, for sure. Don't drink. All right, I'm not condoning that. I don't want you to get the wrong idea. But definitely don't operate a chainsaw if you're going to do that, you know? And so we're watching, and it's just one of those things. You knew what was coming, right? And that tree starts to fall, and my cousin's boyfriend was in the truck, and he saw the tree coming, so he threw it in reverse and backed up. And guess what he did? He pulled the tree right down on top of the truck, you know? God expects us to be careful. Don't do those things, you know? That's where I come from, so now I have an excuse. You understand why I am the way I am. That's my family. But, you know, we should be careful. There's a lot of things. You shouldn't text and drive. You know, that's not very careful. It's against the law in most states now. Not that none of us in here are ever guilty of that. But, you know, we should be careful in life. It just makes common sense. But the idea here is not to be full of care. And what does that mean? It means, well, just to put it in a very practical sense, that you're laying in bed. It's 11 o'clock at night. You went to bed at 9. You're still not asleep because you're thinking. You ever been there? Then 1 o'clock in the morning comes, and you're laying there, and you're still in bed, and you're thinking. Now, we have to be careful because we're Christians tonight. We're not worrying. We're thinking. We're thinking about all the ins and outs and the things that we could do and the things that could happen and making plans for this and that and trying to figure things out. And what we are is we are full of care. And that's exactly what the Bible says that we should not be. I wish I could say this evening that I have never been guilty of that, but I can't. And I'm sure that each one of us have faced circumstances in our life where we did not know what was coming next, or we were facing a circumstance with the health of a loved one where we just had no control over the situation, and we were just absolutely full of care. I mentioned before how my dad had a stroke when he was 58, and I can remember those days in the hospital as he told us, you know, we've given him this clot buster drug, and the next 24 hours, he can live or die. If he develops a bleed, then he's going to die. You know, those were some tense moments. And to be honest with you, there was a lot of time that I was full of care. But you know, that didn't surprise God. It wasn't something that he didn't see coming. It wasn't something that he was not in control of. You know, my dad's life was no more in the hands of God at that point than it had ever been at any point in his life. But circumstances bring us to the point where we become full of care. And you see, that's one of the things as Christians that we like to excuse away. We make excuses about it. And we say, hey, you know, I'm not really worrying. It's not that I'm worried about it. I'm just concerned. Or we have a lot of code words for worry that we like to throw out because they're kosher to use. And people aren't going to think badly of us if we say that we're concerned. Now, if we say we're worried, they're going to nail us to the wall, right? You know, you shouldn't worry. You know, the Bible says you shouldn't worry. But concern, have you ever had someone say, no, you shouldn't be concerned? No. We don't hear that, so it's okay for us as Christians to be full of care and be concerned, but just not worried. There have been a lot of times in my life that I faced circumstances like that, and I'm sure because I'm a human being and I face circumstances similar to what you face, I'm sure that you can identify times in your life that you have been full of care, that you've been in a situation that surprised you but didn't surprise God, and you allowed yourself to become full of care. But you know, there's something that we can do to head this off at the pass. There's something that we can do to take care of the, not worry, I won't say that, concern that we as Christians have. There's something that we can do to make sure that we're not in that situation. And what is that thing that we can do? It's to go to the Lord in prayer. You know, worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. No one has ever worried a problem to its solution. That is an impossibility. Worrying accomplishes nothing, and we're not to do that. But what we are to do is we're to bring everything, my prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to God. me give you a practical way that this will play out. Let's say that there's some bills due that you don't have the money to pay for. Maybe it's your college bill if you're a college student, or maybe it's your electric bill if you're a parent, or whatever it is. You've got this money that you don't have that you need, and you don't know how you're going to pay for it. So you go to bed at 9 o'clock. Now, what you may have done before is you stay there in bed, and you lay there, and you're concerned about things until eventually, in the wee hours of the next morning, you finally fall asleep, and in the morning you wake up, and you're just as down and out about it as you were when you went to sleep, if not worse, because now you haven't had any sleep. But what we should do is go to bed at 9 and begin to pray about our problem. Say, Lord, you know what I need. God, you know my circumstances. You know why I am where I am. Do you know, one of the things that I love about our God is our God is a God of grace and our God is a God of mercy. And you know, sometimes in life we make bad decisions. And we have bills at the end of the month that need to be paid because we've made a bad financial decision. And you know that we can go to God and He still cares? We can go and confess, Lord, I've made a bad decision with my money. And God, at this point, it's my fault, I understand that, but God, I need mercy. And you know, I believe God's going to help you. I believe God is a God of mercy. And He says that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find grace, but also mercy. And I'm thankful for that this evening. So you can go to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and you can lay there, and you can begin to pour your heart out to God. God, I need your help. God, you've got to come through for me here. God, I need you. And you spend an hour praying. And you know what's going to happen? Probably by the end of that hour, or maybe two, or maybe longer, but probably at the end of that time, you're going to have peace in your life. You're going to believe and understand that God is going to meet your need because He promised that He would. You are going to believe and understand that God is going to come through for you and you're going to go to sleep. And you know, when you wake up in the morning, you're not going to be depressed anymore. Do you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be excited for the time the alarm clock goes off because you're going to know that this is the day that God is going to come through for you. And you're going to be excited knowing that, hey, God's going to answer my prayer. This is an exciting thing. I preached this message once at a church, and a woman came up to me before the service. And she said, Brother Pat, my glasses broke today. And I need $60 so that I can get a new pair of glasses. And she didn't specifically ask me for money, but I kind of saw where she was going. She wanted me to talk to the pastor and see if the pastor would help her out and give her some money. So we preached the message. At the end of the message, she came up to me and she said, Brother Pat, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to get me the money that I need to fix my glasses. And you know what? She came back the next night. And you know what? She had a smile on her face. She was so excited because you know what God had done that day? God had given her the money that she needed to get her glasses. It's an amazing thing how God answers our prayers. But you know, we can sit there and we can be concerned all night long, or we can pray. And we're going to get a lot more sleep that way, I would say. It just makes sense. You know what? We have to be proactive. You know, many a times, our defeat in the Christian life comes from the way that we think. If we think wrong, we live our lives wrong. And many times, we don't think proactively. We allow circumstances to come our way, and we're always reacting to whatever is coming into our life, instead of proactively seeking God's will. You know, it's proactive to go to the Lord in prayer. It's proactive to do those things, not just sit back and wait for things to come your way, but to actively seek God in these areas. And you know, the promise that God gives us here in verse number 7 is that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love this verse because it considers two different things, our hearts and our minds. I think of this as our emotions and our intellect. You know, God is going to give you peace in your life if you'll just simply pray. He's going to calm your nerves. He's going to calm your emotions. He's going to soothe you. And you're going to have peace in your life. But isn't that what all too often we're lacking when we face adversity? We're lacking the peace of God in our life when we're so stressed out by everything that comes our way. Because we're not proactively bringing these things to God. Again, we think of the life of Jehoshaphat. When the army was coming, what was the first thing that he did? He got on his knees. He began to pray. And I would submit to you tonight, that's exactly as Christians what we need to do. Anytime adversity comes into our life, the first place we ought to go is to the Lord and proactively seek His will in the matter. We move on tonight to verse number eight. The Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." The last part of that verse is a command. And we are commanded to think about the things that were mentioned aforehand. We are commanded to think. You know, many times our thoughts are just a response to an outward stimulus. That's why marketing works. And that's why billboards work. Because you're driving down the road and you're not hungry at all. But then you see, it's bow time. And immediately you're thinking, you know what? Some spicy chicken would be really nice right now, right? Our thoughts have been drawn in a certain direction because of an outward stimulus. And do you realize that Satan understands how that works? The world understands how that works. That, again, is why marketing is so successful. Because there are little keys in life, little things that our mind picks up on, and our mind is drawn in that direction, and we begin to think about those things. And you know, that's exactly what happened in the life of Lot. Lot's soul was vexed by the things that he saw and the things that he heard. The outward stimulus that affected his life. You know, it would be nice if we could control how much things affected us. It would be nice if we could determine how much the things that we're watching on TV affected the way that we think. But we don't have control of that. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that God wants us to be able to handle a little bit of sin. And nowhere in the Word of God does it say, it's okay. You can participate in that sinful activity just a little. It won't hurt you. It's not in the Word of God, but you know, that's often how we think. Just a little bit of this isn't going to be all that bad. You know, there are a couple of times in the book of Proverbs that the Bible tells us that all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. That we can justify anything we want to do. We can justify anything that we want to watch or listen to. Or we can justify going anywhere we want to go. And people do it all the time. But you know, it's God that weighs the spirits. It's God who decides what right is and what wrong is. And not we ourselves. We can't control how much we're affected by the things that come into our ear gate and the things that come into our eye gate. It's not up to us. We don't understand how that works. I believe wholeheartedly, we just don't understand how much those outward stimuli affect the way that we think, the way that we process things, the music that we listen to. You say, well, hey, there's nothing really wrong with this. You know, it's talking about this or it's talking about that, but you know, you got to be careful because when you're listening to music that's glorifying illicit relationships and things like that, then sooner or later your mind becomes desensitized to those things. And the things that once were a horribly bad thing to you become, it's not so big of a deal anymore. We've got to be careful with those outward stimuli. That's why I believe here in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, the Bible commands us to think proactively. Do you know what? We should be thinking something before that outward stimuli gets there. Thinking proactively. Do you know, if we're driving down the road and there's a billboard up there that's ungodly, that has a tendency to make our mind go in the wrong direction. You know what? We need to think of something of good report. Can I tell you something of good report right now? My daughter got saved. That's something of good report. I like to ask my kids every once in a while, hey, tell me something of good report. And I did that today to Bethany, and she said, hey, Lydia got saved. And you know what? That's great news. And you know, that's something great to think about. Our brother has recently had a baby. You know what? That's something of good report. Let's think about that. Let's keep those things in our mind ahead of time so that when that outward stimuli comes in, hey, our brain's already headed in a direction, and that outward stimuli doesn't have the control over us anymore. We've got to be careful with the way that we think. A lot of us, you know, we struggle with our mind. We struggle with our thinking. We might tend to generalize things a lot and say that the female gender might tend towards the worrying more, and the male gender tends towards the immoral thoughts more often. And whatever it is in your direction, and I think those generalizations a lot of times are wrong, but, you know, whatever it is that your mind issue is, the things that you struggle with in your thinking, the answer is found in God's Word here in Philippians chapter number 4. If you're having problems with immoral thoughts, that's because you weren't thinking about something good before those bad thoughts got there. We've got to think proactively. Several months ago, one of my daughters came and she knocked on the door. You know how that is at 2 o'clock in the morning when a daughter knocks on the door, every good father says, go to bed, you know? I don't want to listen to this. I'm sleeping, you know? My daughter knocked on the door, and she came in the room, and she said, I said, you know, what's wrong? I won't tell you which one. Embarrass her. And she said, Daddy, I'm scared. And I said, what are you afraid of? And she told me what she was afraid of. I said, okay, this is what we need to do. And we learned a song at camp that helped out. Whatsoever things are true and honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely, think of them we must. Things of good report, virtue and praise, we must think on these things, think on these things. So we sang that song, and we prayed, and I sent her to bed, and she went to sleep. And I told her, you know what, you need to stop thinking about those things. But you know what, when you try to stop thinking about something, what do? You just wrap your mind around it again. So said, in order for you to stop thinking about it, you've got to proactively think about something else. So let's think about something else. Let's think about the day that you got saved. Do you remember the day that you got saved? And we kind of rehearsed that over in her mind, and she went to bed that night, and she went to sleep. A couple nights later, Daddy, I'm afraid. So we went through the same thing. And we sang the song again, and we prayed, and told her, hey, let's think about something else. I don't remember exactly what I told her we needed to think about that night. But she went to bed and she went to sleep. And after about 4 or 5 nights of kind of going through the same thing, it was pretty funny. She didn't come to my side of the bed. She went to Mommy's side of the bed. And my wife said, what do you want? She said, Mommy, I'm afraid. And she said, it's okay. Go talk to Daddy. My daughter said, I don't want to. He's just going to make me sing a song and go to bed. But you know, that is effective whether a young child understands it or not. You know, when we're dealing with evil, wrong thoughts, the answer is not trying harder to not think about those things. God has given us the answer. And it is proactively to think about something that He determines that we should be thinking about. So how does that work? Well, let me encourage you. Memorize this verse. Pick something out of this verse. Let's think of things of good report, or things that are pure, things that are lovely. Let's think about our Savior tonight. Let's think about what He has done for us. Let's think about all kinds of things that are good, they're godly, they honor the Lord. Let's think about those things on purpose. Let's fill our minds with those things all day. How about do what Jesus did when He was tempted? What did He do? He quoted the Word of God. He quoted Scripture. I think that would definitely fit into the list here. His mind was on the things of God. And that's exactly where our mind needs to be in moments of temptation. when we see something, an outward stimuli, that draws our mind to think in a certain direction, you know, it's not sin to be tempted. It's sin to go along with that temptation and to dwell on it. That outward stimuli comes in, and you know what? We immediately, we need to key on that and notice the attack of the devil there. And the hook that is trying to grab into our flesh, and reject that and think of something from this list. Think of something that is honest. We have to think proactively. And the wonderful thing about this is what it brings into our life. It brings the peace of God into our life. There are many Christians out there who don't have the peace of God. And it all goes back to the way that we think, to where we allow our mind to go, to the influences that are coming into our life, to what's going on around us, our circumstances. We're defeated because of those things, and we don't even realize it. We've got to be willing to admit tonight our need to think differently. Verse number 9, the Bible says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's a lot to live up to there. There's a lot of things that Paul had taught the Philippians. There were a lot of things that he lived out in front of them. There's lots of truth that he brought forward to them. And he just expects them to do it. You know, one of the key points, I believe, of revival is that we're doing the things that we know are right to do. I know in my life, revivals have been precious to me. I've always wanted to be there during the revival meetings that my church was having, because those were times that God spoke to my heart. Those were times that God moved. But you know, I quickly learned in my life that when you get to a point of surrender in your life, when God asks you to do something, or God says, hey, I don't want you to do this anymore, you're at a decision point that really will change the rest of your life. It's going to change your relationship with God from that point forward. We want God to speak to us. We want God to move in our life. We want to grow in our life spiritually. But you know, you may be sitting here and maybe your spiritual life is stagnant and you just don't understand why things aren't moving forward like you want them to. It seems like you're kind of stuck in a rut. Then nothing is happening. You're just kind of numb in your Christian life. Can I tell you, maybe because you're not doing what you know is right to do at this point? You know, in my life and how God has led me to the place that I am in my life, I'm an impatient person, as you may be as well. And you know what? I want to know what God's will is for the rest of my life right now. I want to know it, right? I want God to show me every step that I'm supposed to take from here until the time that I die, and I want to know it now. Is anybody else like that? I think we probably are. But have you noticed that that isn't how God works? That isn't the way that God does things. God shows us the next step. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is like a lamp unto our feet, and when you have the idea of that lamp, what does a lamp show you? You know, we have LED mag lights now, right? And they put to shame anything that they had in Bible days. We can hold up that big LED mag light or some kind of 10 million candle power, floodlight. I mean, we can see forever. But you know, a lamp is not like that. You're holding a lamp, you see just a little area around you. Everything in front of you is not revealed to you. And the Bible says that it's like a lamp unto our feet. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we've got to take a step to see the next one. And as we take a step in obedience to God, the next one is revealed. it isn't a long view, it's a very short view. And that is the way our Christian life works. If we're not doing the things that God has shown us, then God is not going to show us more. If we're not being obedient in the things that God has already revealed to us, then God is not going to put more on your plate because you can't handle what He's already given you. Where is your life today? Has there been a point of surrender in your life? Has there been a time that God showed you something that needed to be removed from your life but you refused to do it? Or maybe there's a point in time in your life that God spoke to your heart very specifically and said, you know what? I want you to do this very specific thing. And you say, God, I just can't do that. Either one of those things are going to stunt your spiritual growth. It's going to stop you at that point. And until you're willing to either not do or do what it is that God has asked you to do, you're not going to grow. We've got to be careful to do what it is that God has commanded us to do. You know, there's something about this doing that I think sometimes we often miss. Paul said that in his flesh there dwelled no good thing. The Bible tells us that without him, we can do nothing. The Bible tells us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're familiar with that verse, correct? But you know, the contrast is this. That is just as bad as drunkenness is. And you've seen how drunkenness tears apart relationships and families. I was talking to the pastor about that this morning, how families are just falling apart and drugs and alcohol are just ripping apart our social fiber. Our communities are just falling apart because of those things. And we look at that, we look at drunkenness and we look at drugs and we see just how bad those things are. But you know, the comparison in this verse is that for a Christian, being not filled with the Holy Spirit is just as bad as drunkenness. God commands us to be filled with the Spirit. Do you know that you could not save yourself? It was an impossibility. You didn't have it in you. You could not be holy in and of yourself. It's an impossibility. And do you know what? Getting saved doesn't make you able to be holy. We need the righteousness of Christ, do we not? That's the only way that we'll get to heaven. And you know, the only one who can live the perfect Christian life is Jesus Christ. And as we're yielded to Him, we can do. But remember, without Him, we can do nothing. Too many times we determine, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do all those things. And you know, we should have some determination, but we need to understand that it's Christ through us who will win the victory. It's Christ through us who can do where I fail. You know, many times we try to turn over a new leaf and we try to do better ourselves. And I really believe that that's the reason why many Christians are not in church today. Because they've tried in the power of their own flesh. They've tried to live the Christian life and they found out that they can't do it. And that's the simple truth of the matter. Without Him, we can do nothing. We need to rely on Him to accomplish His will for our lives. Because that's the only way that we truly can do what He wants us to do. Where are you at in your Christian life tonight? Have you excused away your concern at night? Have you excused away those things, or are you proactively seeking the Lord in adversity in your life? Where are you at in your thought life tonight? Men, are you struggling with that? Are you struggling with your thoughts this evening? Can I tell you that the answer is here in Philippians 4? You need to begin to proactively think the things that God says are worthy to think about. And then finally, are you doing tonight? Are you doing what God has revealed to you you need to do? Are you seeking lost souls? Is there a time that you spend devotionally with God? You have a time that you spend reading His Word and in pray? Are you doing what you know to do? Say, if you are tonight, then you have peace with God. The peace of God is ruling in your heart. You know what it's like to have peace with God, but I can tell you, if you're here tonight and these things are not represented in your life, then your life is not full of peace. Your life's full of turmoil. You literally are living under the circumstances. You're not living the life that God wants you to live. All too often as Christians, I believe that these are things we excuse. We sweep them under the rug. We make excuses. Because these are things that are not outward. Nobody can see the worry that's going on in your mind. Nobody can see the bad thoughts that are there. Nobody can recognize those things, and it's easy for us to fool other people with the way that we live, but friend, tonight, we're not fooling God. God's not fooled. God sees our thoughts. Everything is open with Him. We can't fool Him. With heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, God speaking to your heart. Maybe tonight you have a tendency to worry. Maybe tonight you have a tendency to have evil thoughts. You're allowing that external stimuli to draw your mind in the wrong direction, and God is speaking to you about that tonight. You need to change the way that you think. You need to begin to think of things that are of good report, things that are honest. Maybe you're here tonight and God is just reiterating something in your life that He has called you to do. And maybe there's something that He says, hey, I want you to get that out of your life, and you've refused to do it. And maybe tonight God is bringing that back to mind. And tonight you need to do. You need to get that thing out of your life. You need to head in a different direction. If God is speaking to your heart about one of those issues tonight, why don't you respond to Him? Let Him have His way in your life and experience God's peace once again. You see, that's really what revival is all about. It's about us as God's people recognizing our need for Him and to be right with Him. If you're here tonight and God is speaking, be obedient. Secondly, maybe you're here tonight without Christ. There is no peace without Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you're lost. You know it. There's no peace in your life. You're longing for that peace. You're longing for a relationship that brings that peace into your life, and that relationship that brings peace is only a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're here tonight and you know you need to be saved. God is speaking to your heart. If that's you tonight, would you just simply lift your hand and say, God is speaking to me tonight. I know I need to be saved. I don't have peace in my life, and I want it tonight. I need to be saved. I need peace. Anyone tonight, say, God is speaking to me. I need the peace of God in my life. I need to accept Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Would you stand with me? Go ahead and have the instruments begin a hymn of invitation. If God's speaking to your heart tonight about an area that we spoke about, by our tendency to be full of care, or maybe it's our thought life and how we're just not thinking correctly. We're allowing ourselves to be drawn in different directions, and we're just not right with God. If God is speaking, allow Him to have His way in your life. Maybe you need to do, if that's you, just step out, come do business with God. And friend, if you're here tonight with no peace, don't leave that way. Whether you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's no reason to leave this room without peace. That's exactly what Jesus Christ offers you tonight. He offers you peace with God. If you're here tonight without Him, why don't you come, allow us to take the Bible, show you from God's Word how you can know your sins are forgiven, how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. Don't pass this moment up tonight if God's speaking. Submit to Him tonight. Allow Him to have His way.